Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Brian Courtney.
11 mature marijuana plants being cultivated next to a residence on Open Fork near the Elliottville community here in Rowell County.
A Moorhead man is under arrest after a marijuana bust in Elliottville.
Two men were hospitalized and one is under arrest after a stabbing in Knott County.
The remains of a woman missing since August 10th have been found in Lee County.
A Northeast Kentucky lawmaker is preparing to help update the state's tax system.
A suicide prevention seminar will take place in Ashland.
In sports, the Reds continue their series with Milwaukee tonight at Great American Ballpark.
Bud Luke brings us the stock report.
Cloudy skies will clear overnight with lows in the upper 40s. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky State Police arrested a Moorhead man during a marijuana bust in Rowan County yesterday. KSP Trooper Scott Farrell says authorities located 11 large mature marijuana plants next to a home on Open Fork Road near Elliottville. In addition to the plants, several long guns and pistols were seized. According to Farrell, 53-year-old Patrick Witt of Moorhead was arrested at the scene and is facing charges.
This can be a cultivation of marijuana over five plants. And possession of marijuana as well, and he was lodged in the Rowell County Detention Center that evening.
Farrell says he's not certain what led authorities to the alleged marijuana grow operation at the residence in Elliottville.
Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein is glad his department has had enough Narcan at its disposal to help save the lives of the drug overdose victims that it has come across. With several of them to treat in the last year, Klein says it's fortunate his department has gotten grants to help keep it supplied with the opioid antidote. He admits, however, that at an estimated $10 to $20 a dose, treating those who've overdosed with Narcan is often not an inexpensive proposition.
It's not just one dose of Narcan that it takes a lot of times. It's been five, six, and eight doses of this that you've had to, or we've had to, or first responders had to administer to get them to come around to and respond to the overdose.
Klein says the cost to keep the Rowan Sheriff's Department and other local first responders supplied with Narcan is growing, since many of them now carry doses of it for personal use in case they're accidentally overcome by opioids that have come in contact with during investigations.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a stabbing in Knott County. WMKY's Sean Delaney reports.
Kentucky State Police received a call around 9:48 p.m. September 4th advising that three people were fighting in the roadway on Mullins Branch Road in the Kite community. According to WKYT, troopers with KSP Post 13 responded to the scene along with a Knott County Sheriff's deputy. It's there they found Kevin Hall, Justin Cottle, and Terry Sutton fighting. Sutton had pulled out a knife and stabbed Hall. Cottle was also injured during the altercation. Hall was flown to the Pikeville Medical Center and Cottle was taken to McDowell ARH. Sutton was arrested, charged with first-degree assault, and is being held in the Kentucky River Regional Jail. For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Montgomery County first responders are carrying more Narcan and attending to more overdose patients. That's according to EMS Battalion Chief Jerry Jackson. Jackson tells WKYT the increase started in the summer of 2016.
We have used 161 doses of Narcan, two or three doses sometimes to bring the person back versus, you know, two or three years ago with just one dose or not even a full dose then.
Jackson says more people are overdosing in public places. He believes that addicts know how dangerous the drugs are and they hope that someone will call for help if they overdose.
A man on parole for trafficking heroin pleaded guilty to the same charge earlier this month. Here's 22-year-old Theophilus Tipton pleaded guilty to trafficking heroin and opiates in Franklin Circuit Court earlier this month. According to the Commonwealth's plea officer, Tipton was in possession of 203 oxycodone pills and 17 bundles of heroin. This is the second time around for Tipton, who is one of seven arrested in Rowan County for drug trafficking in 2013. He was sentenced to 10 years for the most recent charges, which will run concurrently with his earlier sentence.
The remains of a woman missing from Lee County have been found. Kentucky State Police tell WKYT the remains found Saturday in a remote area of Lee County were identified as 29-year-old Mary Jo Allen. Sammy Roberts is Allen's sister. She says the family knew something was wrong when Allen vanished on August 10th.
When her little boy didn't get picked up from school, she would never left him at school alone. She would have picked him up.
Allen was last seen at her home, the same house where Patricia Lutz was shot and killed in 2014. No one was arrested in that case, and it is considered an open and ongoing investigation.
Lexington authorities are investigating a pair of deadly weekend shootings. WKYT reports they were first called to East 6th Street around 11:30 Saturday night. 16-year-old Floyd Dunn III was rushed to the hospital with a gunshot wound. He later succumbed to his injuries. Sunday morning around 9, officers were called to an apartment complex on Alumni Drive where 28-year-old Jerome Wadsworth was found with a serious wound from a gunshot. He died at the hospital as well. Community activist Anita Franklin says the incidents reaffirm her group's work.
This young man was being put into the ambulance. I heard a lady say, "Live in peace, not rest in peace." To me, and that sign wasn't out here, I'd taken it in because of the rain. For me to know that people are listening, we're going to win this. You know, people are talking because we're tired of it. And so, am I afraid to say that? Absolutely not. I had to bury a son, and there's no fear in that.
Authorities say there are no indications that the shootings are related. Anyone with information is asked to contact Lexington Police at 859-258-3600.
A former emergency management director is set to stand trial, WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
Carl Cheney, the former EM director for Lewis County, is expected to appear for a pretrial hearing December 1st for allegedly misappropriating public funds. Cheney was terminated from his position as director in April of 2016 during an investigation regarding his financial dealings. Kentucky State Police say the investigation stemmed from an audit that revealed discrepancies with Cheney's accounting. The indictment states that Cheney, between August 2nd of 2012 and September 4th of 2015, dealt with public money or property as his own and failed to make the required payments or dispositions. Cheney's trial date is scheduled for December 11th. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
The lone Democrat in Kentucky's congressional delegation is denouncing President Trump's decision to end DACA. Paul Miles reports.
Congressman John Yarmus says the decision upends the lives of more than 800,000 innocent young people. He calls the move cruel and inhumane. In a statement, Yarmus says the immigrants contribute to their communities and participate in a workforce that wants and needs them. Yarmus says it's our obligation to reject the president's heartless decision. I'm Paul Miles.
State Representative Jill York of Grayson says lawmakers will have to keep one key thing in mind when they work to update Kentucky's antiquated tax system. According to the Republican, they need to understand that whatever they do, it won't be perfect in the eyes of many Kentuckians.
It's going to be difficult to make everyone happy. Of course, what I think makes the best solution is that we kind of put a critical eye on what is working for us, if we have loopholes that can be closed, let's do so. If the laws are antiquated, let's get rid of those.
York says it's critical any reforms made to Kentucky's tax system produce new revenue for services needed by the citizens of the Commonwealth, including cash to help bail out the struggling public pension systems. Legislators are expected to deal with tax reform in either an upcoming special session or the 2018 regular session.
Funds raised at a Lexington benefit concert are headed to Houston to aid victims of Hurricane Harvey. Local musicians crowded the Willie's locally known restaurant yesterday for the fundraiser. Conda Hogg was in the audience. She spoke with WKYT.
So much better to give than to get. And if we can just give to help just a little bit, even if it's a meal or, you know, a box of diapers, anything these people need, we should be there for them.
The money will be donated to the Houston Food Bank.
A community in southern Kentucky is assessing damage from Hurricane Harvey. 20 homes and businesses were damaged Friday as Harvey brought heavy rains. Guthrie Mayor Scott Marshall tells WHOP Radio some help has already arrived.
American Red Cross, they've been here doing their damage assessments and doing the cleanup packs and stuff like that.
Marshall says 6 homes sustained damage severe enough that residents will not be able to move back, and more than a dozen more were heavily damaged by the storm.
There will be a suicide prevention seminar September 13th at noon at the Belfont Behavioral Health Center. Bond Secure's Kentucky Health System is offering the free educational opportunity. Communications specialist Kevin Compton says a psychiatrist and a social worker will be the special speakers at the seminar.
We hope that by the end of our clinic here that we have our attendees understand a little bit about who could possibly be at risk, what populations are most at risk, the kind of screening options that we have available for depression and suicide prevention. And we're also looking to help people learn how they could, if they recognize the signs, help with intervention to prevent suicides from occurring.
The Bellefonte Behavioral Help Center assists patients with mental health and substance abuse issues. Space is limited for the seminar, and RSVPs are required by September 8th. You can call 606-833-6265.
Carter County is using alternative fuel to save money. With 14 vehicles in the county fleet now converted to use alternative fuel, the fiscal court accepted a bid Tuesday for propane, costing the county just $1.25 per gallon. Jailer R.W. Boggs says changing a vehicle over to propane fuel is a relatively easy process.
It takes them, you know, about 2 weeks to get the conversion done, and it costs roughly about $3,500 to convert one. So you wouldn't want to do every vehicle. If you have just a local grocery getter or something, you probably would have to weigh out the cost. But with the federal vans, it's, you know, a no-brainer.
Boggs says by taking the incentive from the state for using alternative fuel and adding the 51 cents per mile for federal transports, the county is actually making money, not just saving it.
After over a decade unused, plans are now underway to reopen the pool at Jenny Wiley State Resort Park. Scott Stapleton works for Prestonsburg Parks and Recreation. He told EKB News the pool's return will be appreciated by the local community.
When I was younger, we used to come over here. I haven't been over here in forever, which it's been closed down, but I'm looking forward to, I guess, get back to work on it and reopen it. Biggest thing is probably the big mushroom that was in the kiddie pool.
Prestonsburg Mayor Les Stapleton says it'll cost $40,000 to reopen the deteriorated and vandalized pool.
We are back with the weather. We've got Tuesday night. Clouds early that will clear late, low of 49 with 80% humidity. On Wednesday, we've got partly cloudy with a high of 69. Thursday, light clouds that will clear later and a high of 68. Friday, we've got more clear skies with a high of 75. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. Current temperatures are Ashland at 67 degrees, Winchester at 69 degrees, Inez at 68 degrees, Flemingsburg at 70 degrees, Lexington at 69 degrees, and Moorhead at 68 degrees.
The time is 4:43. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Brian Courtney, and we're glad you joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Fraley Festival of Traditional Music kicks off in Carter County tomorrow. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg has the story.
Now in its fourth decade, the Community Jam turned yearly festival will fill Carter Caves State Resort Park with the sounds of dulcimer, fiddle, and guitar. Event organizer Paul Tierney explains how two Eastern Kentucky locals, J.P. and Anadine Fraley, were the genesis of an extensive musical gathering.
They had a lot of different connections within the traditional music scene. Anytime they had any one of these family reunions, they would, of course, invite their friends who were also musicians. And so this kind of community popped up as a result of this family reunion, and it grew over the years to what they started calling the Fraley Mountain Music Festival.
The husband and wife mountain music duo have both since passed away. But the festival's family atmosphere still attracts professional and amateur performers alike.
So you get a lot of really great new talent. Robin plays an awful lot. The Corn Drinkers come out a lot. And I mean, this is just something that you don't find in a lot of different places. So we never know exactly who's going to show up, but those are several of the ones who will show up almost every single year.
Tierney says the Fraley Festival sets itself apart from other events with its blend of time-honored folk music styles.
If you're coming just to hear bluegrass, it's not really that type of event. These are commonly referred to as traditional mountain music, and it's a little bit different. I mean, it features a lot of traditional fiddling music. You know, if you come up here to some of the jam sessions, more than likely you are going to hear songs reminiscent of bluegrass, but this is a more traditional music style.
Its unique personality is part of the reason Tierney believes the festival should be kept alive, to commemorate past generations of Appalachian musicians.
If you didn't have this type of event, a lot of these type of songs, I think, you know, to a certain extent would die. So it's really kind of this oral tradition here in eastern Kentucky to keep this type of music alive along with this festival.
The music kicks off with a free jam session in the Carter Caves Campground Shelter Wednesday at 7 p.m. $25 secures a full weekend ticket. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The time is 4:46. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Coming up at 5 p.m., it's the latest in national and international news on National Public Radio's All Things Considered. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports news. He's up after this quick timeout.
At State University, the Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds continue their series with Milwaukee tonight at 7:10 up at Great American Ballpark. After carrying a 4-0 lead for most of Game 1 yesterday, the Reds ended up needing a 2-out solo home run from Billy Hamilton in the bottom of the 9th inning off of Brewers reliever Josh Hader to beat their guest 5-4. Skipper Brian Price, though, says it was a nice comeback win for his ball club.
We had the wind knocked out of our sails a little bit there in the 7th, going from 4-0 to 4-4, and got to right now, you're 2 outs. Hader in the 9th has been really good. We haven't seen a ton of him, but when he's pitched against us, he's thrown very, very well. And of all people, you know, Billy Hamilton hitting a home run from the right side with 2 outs to walk him off.
Rookie Robert Stevenson takes the mound for the Reds tonight. The Brewers will go with 16-game winner Kyle Davies. A former Morehead State baseball star has made it to the major leagues. MSU coach Mike McGuire says that former All-OVC catcher Taylor Davis has been called up by the Chicago Cubs from their AAA team in Des Moines, Iowa.
Great player, Morehead State, is a real grinder at the professional level. He's really grounded out through the low levels and, you know, played at a high level. And you just hope for a guy like that to get the break and get the call up to the bigs, and really happy and excited that that's going to happen for him. And you know, it's great for Morehead State as well to have a big leaguer.
Davis has been in the Cubs system for 7 years after signing with them as an undrafted free agent in 2011. He is the first position player from Morehead State to make a major league team in 50 years. Outfielder Joe Campbell played in one game for the Cubs back in 1967. The new AP Top 25 poll has been released after the opening weekend of the college football season. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports.
Florida State slipped all the way to number 10 in the Associated Press college football poll after losing to Alabama and losing quarterback DeAndre Francois to a season-ending knee injury. The Crimson Tide is number one again, securing 60 of 61 first-place votes in the first Top 25 poll of the regular season. Ohio State remained at number 2 in the poll and received the other first-place vote. Defending champion Clemson moved up to number 3, Penn State is number 4, and Oklahoma moved up to number 5, meaning for the second straight week there will be a top 5 matchup when the Sooners play at Ohio State on Saturday. Louisville remained at number 16 in the country. Kentucky did receive 4 votes, but it was not enough to be ranked in the top 25. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Morehead State football team is preparing for its first road game of the season. The Eagles visit Liberty on Saturday. Even though MSU rode to an easy 56-14 win over Kentucky Christian in its season opener last Thursday, redshirt junior quarterback Lawson Page says his team has one key thing to work on.
Definitely finishing, because, you know, this second half that we played, you know, was kind of a little pathetic, because, you know, we got up big, and then we kind of just lost concentration. So we're going to try to finish out this week and then do better at that.
Liberty finished well in its season opener, scoring a 48-45 upset win of Baylor over the weekend in Waco. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is calling the Wildcats' 24-17 season opening win at Southern Mississippi, quote, a good victory. Stoops says the Big Blue played tough and with the right mindset.
I felt like the team was very united, very unselfish, you know, and maybe not exactly real pleased with their individual play at times, but happy to get the team victory. And, you know, so it's not so much about how an individual plays. It's more about how does the team play when you're in the game.
Stoops, though, says the Cats have a lot of cleanup work to do before they face Eastern Kentucky on Saturday in their home opener. Ball security is a big focus this week in practice for the Round County football team as it prepares for Friday's game at Fleming County. Coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings' 5 turnovers and their 51-16 loss to Mason County last Saturday was unacceptable. He notes that one of them was a result of a fumble, and the other 4 were interceptions tossed by Round's quarterbacks.
Kelly Norris had 3, and then Devin had 1. So, I mean, it's, you know, we try to put the ball in there a little bit to loosen Mason up because their linebackers was really good, and they was flowing to the football and was kind of putting the hurt on our running game, so we tried to spread it out a little bit.
The 1-2 Vikings will be facing a 2-0 Fleming County team that is coming off of a 21-17 win against Greenup County. One note from the NBA, current Houston Rockets owner Leslie Alexander has agreed to sell the franchise to local Houston businessman Tillman Fertitta. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that the deal is worth $2.2 billion, the most an NBA franchise has ever been sold for. Finally in sports, the Round County girls soccer team's game scheduled for tonight against Bath County has been postponed to tomorrow. The Round County boys soccer team will face East Carter following the conclusion of the girls. One other note from the MSU volleyball team, freshman outside hitter Lauren Rocky has been voted the Ohio Valley Conference's newcomer of the week. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball will host the Comfort Inn Invitational this weekend. Matches against South Carolina State and Troy on Friday and Middle Tennessee on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. equities fell as tension between North Korea and the West sent jitters down Wall Street, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 234.25, or just over 1%, at 21,753.31. The S&P 500 was down 18.7 at 2457.85, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 59.76 to finish at 6375.57. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And, of course, over the weekend, North Korea successfully tested a hydrogen bomb that could be mounted on an intercontinental ballistic missile. This was North Korea's 6th nuclear test since 2006 and its most powerful to date. The U.S. stock market was, of course, closed yesterday for Labor Day, but futures fell along with global equities. The Stock 600 Index, which tracks a broad swath of European equities, fell 0.5% on Monday, while the Japanese Nikkei 225 declined almost 1%. And a lot of that weakness overseas carried over to today's trading, particularly in South Korea, where South Korean stocks fell sharply with the iShares MSCI South Korea Exchange Traded Fund sliding 2.8%, and this ETF was on track for its worst session since August 10th. Wall Street also looked ahead to debt ceiling and budget negotiations this month. If a deal is not reached, it could lead to a government shutdown, which could be catastrophic, according to Standard & Poor's. Investors also set their sights on U.S. tax reform. It was reported earlier that the group of 6 officials working on tax reform was scheduled to meet with the president today. This comes after the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, said that the administration had a, quote, very detailed tax plan ready. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.75%, finishing at $48.56 a barrel. Gold was up 1.8% at $1,344.90 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index today was down about 0.8%, and in the Far East, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.625%, and the Shanghai Composite up 0.16%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Walmart and Home Depot. The worst performers were United Technologies and Travelers. In the S&P 500, the best performers were TripAdvisor and Seagate Technology, and the worst performers were Everest Re and XL Group. Trading out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 89 cents at 61.41, CSX down 79 cents at 48.99, AEP up 55 cents at 74.09, AK Steel up 8 cents at 5.77, Marathon Petroleum down $2.50 at 51.78, and Kroger was unchanged, finishing at 22.42. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Eagle Finance, presents the 25th Annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 8th through the 16th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds, US 60 East in Moorhead. Featuring 50 bands, including the Lonesome River Band, Larry Cordell, Russell Moore and Third Time Out, Still Drivers, Gary Brewer and Kentucky Ramblers, and many more. Camping daily and weekend passes. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Turning now to a look at community events coming up in the region, Eastern Kentucky Table Tennis will meet at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 7th at the Morgan County Community Center in West Liberty. Anyone interested and all skill levels are invited to participate.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Walmart from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday, September 8th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health.
The Rowan County Public Library will host a Grandparents' Day celebration 1 p.m. Saturday, September 9th. Children, parents, grandparents, and grandfriends are welcome for stories, crafts, and refreshments. That's a Grandparents' Day celebration, 1 p.m. on Saturday the 9th at Rowan County Public Library.
The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music is sponsoring a community square dance at the Rowan County Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, September 12th. Enjoy live music and admission is free. The dance is beginner-friendly. All ages and ability levels are welcome. We are back with the weather one more time. Tuesday night, clouds early that will clear late, low of 49 with 80% humidity. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 69. Thursday, light clouds that will clear later, high of 68. Friday, clear skies with a high of 75. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. We're back with the current temperatures one last time for you. Ashland at 67 degrees, Winchester at 69 degrees, Inez at 68 degrees, Flemingsburg at 70 degrees, Lexington at 69 degrees, and Moorhead at 68 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Sean Delaney, Braxton Howard, Cody Robinson and Kyle Blankenbuehler, as well as the Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles, with our feature segment this afternoon, Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web. You can check it out at WMKY.org. For Brian Courtney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News. All Things Considered from National Public Radio is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.